The new rule of airlines sharing passenger data with customs, a violation of privacy. The PNR locator, the reservation date, the travel date, frequent flyer details, the issue of free tickets, upgrades, contact information, billing information, credit card numbers, even details of the travel agencies. This is what the government now wants for the customs, and the airlines have to give it to customs within 24 hours prior to departure. And this is applicable not just for departure, but also for people coming into the country. It's part of a new mandate. All of this data is being given when you depart India or arrive in the country, as I mentioned. The justification for all of this, the broad sweep of national security. But let's go beyond the obvious. Is this really all about Big Brother keeping an eye on people? And is this an invasion of our privacy? That's our main debate. Later on the program, Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, the ace stock market investor, has died of a sudden cardiac arrest today in a Mumbai hospital. Jhunjhunwala, who was 62, was often referred to as India's Warren Buffett. We'll talk a little bit about the life of this maverick of Dalal Street, the man who just recently started a new airline, Akasa. But first, let's talk a little bit about freedom of privacy, the importance of privacy, and why we need to now be giving all this data compulsorily to customs when we leave this country on a flight. We don't give it, the airline has to give it, or they end up paying a hefty fine. Joining us now, Apar Gupta of the Internet Freedom Foundation, Professor Gobardhan Das of the BJP, Amitabh Dubey of the Congress. Thank you all very much for being with us. Amitabh, do you believe that this is because of quote-unquote national security, or is this about Big Brother keeping tabs on where you're going and why you're going?
Vishnu, it's very ironic that 6 years after Vijay Mallya and Mehul Bhai fled the country, the government has woken up to this great grave danger of people fleeing the country for economic or other crimes. The government data shows that during the first NDA government, 38 people fled various crimes and left the country. Now, for these numbers to place millions of people under a surveillance net, to preemptively grab their data and share it with agencies with no safeguards, no regulations, no sunset date, I think this is clearly a violation of privacy. The problem is not that the government has no grounds to collect data. There are, of course, important reasons for the government to want to collect data for law and order and other reasons. The problem is that the government is going ahead with multiple data collection, health records, passenger data, and so on, with zero safeguards, no legal framework, no bills, no data protection. Just recently, the government removed the 2 years the data protection bill had been pending, and the government, under pressure, many believe, of big data, big tech, moved the data. And currently, we have a complete vacuum. So there is a steady expansion of government power, hoovering up huge amounts of data and in a completely unchecked way, which I think is bad for democracy and bad for privacy and bad for human rights.
Professor Gobardhan Das, this is a document which I have in my hand from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And it lists in 19 points the reasons why the United States wants all of this data for passengers leaving America or going to America. And this is the document of the government of India, Annexure 2, on the reasons. And word for word, it is identical to what the Americans want. There's no change in the language in any of these 19 points. It seems as if it's a cut and paste job. But be that as it may, there is one very big difference between the two. The Americans have spelt out that they want all of this data over here to prevent, detect, investigate, and prosecute terrorist offenses and related crimes, whereas we here in India are looking to enhance detection, interdiction, and investigative capabilities of customs to combat offenses related to contraband smuggling, narcotic smuggling, psychotropic substances, gold, arms, and ammunition, right? That impact national security. There's a big difference between terrorism and the threat of terrorists and psychotropic substances and gold smuggling. So what sense does this make? I mean, if you are going to be wanting data because you're worried about national security, then why don't you just say that?
Good evening, Bishnu, and good evening, my fellow panelists. And I wish all of you the happy Independence Day in
advance.
Same
to you, sir.
Yeah. There are two things I have to mention here. See, so privacy, this is not on the US. There are 60 more countries actually follow the same thing. So basically, it's including the US. So all of it is done to protect you and me and all the citizens. This is nothing new in it. And if you talk about the privacy, the biggest privacy, as you know, everything is listed in your Aadhaar card. If you, in Aadhaar card has all the information.
No, sir. No, sir. But it doesn't, sir. I know Apar wants to get it. Apar, bear with me. That's not correct, sir. That's factually incorrect.
Okay. It's not. But certainly, if the passenger, if they have to give all the details, what's the problem in it? It's not, we are not only the countries, it's because of national security. What you listed, all this smuggling and these and that. It's
no, but sir, that's the problem. So anything if you use national security, it's a magic word. Why would anybody want to know where I'm going, why I'm going? It's my privacy. What my credit card details are, why? Is it because I have provided it to buy something in a shop and you argue that you've given it to a shopkeeper? Why can't you give it to the government? Why can't I as a citizen say, I will give it to who I want?
Very good.
And that may or may not be custom.
Very, very good, Vishnu. Good. Suppose if I think about this, your child, they take care of the child, they think, you know, so somebody who is buying ticket for whom is nothing new. One has to provide the information.
No, sir. There are differences now between what was asked. It is new. And that's the point. There are 6 clauses over here which did not exist in the past. Every airline has a boarding pass. Everybody gets a boarding pass. There is a band over there which is scanned every time you go to customs. Much less information than what is being sought out now. There are 6 different grounds which India didn't know required earlier, which is being required now. Why?
So, Vishnu, do you think this is is not the government cannot collect the data, a passenger, where it is going, what is destination, and where the ticket is bought?
It's much more data than that. Privacy? I can read out the 19 points. Half a second, sir.
Answer me the question.
Yes, sir. What is your question, sir?
My question is not government allowed to collect the data, the person, your citizen?
No, it's not allowed to collect data. I don't want it to collect.
No, it cannot.
There has to be a legal basis for the collection of data. What is the legal basis of this in the absence of a data protection law in India?
No. The government is allowed to know this is which country you are going.
Yes, but not some of the other points. Not some of the other points. Points 7, 8, and 9, right? And points 17, 18, and 19 are new points.
Don't feel cornered.
I'm not feeling cornered. I'm merely trying to tell you no. I'll answer that question.
The government is allowed to take the data.
No, it's not allowed to take the data in the absence of a data protection bill. 1 minute, Apar, 1 second, sir.
You may find something of support.
Apar, hold on. Apar, go ahead. Yes.
So when a question is put, is the government allowed to collect this data? Let's just look 10 days into the future, which marks the 5th year anniversary of the Puttuswamy right to privacy judgment, in which it outlines how the government can collect the data. There needs to be a legal basis for it. Now, admittedly, there have been regulations which have been made. So there's a law. But the court says going beyond the artifact of a law, a regulation, it needs to be assessed for necessity, proportionality, and safeguards. And on these features, this regulation fails. Now, I'll tell you what's the difference which has occurred due to this regulation. Earlier, information used to be shared by airlines on an ad hoc basis. which means when the customs department asked it for it. And this was the advanced passenger information system in which only foreigners' data was primarily shared. And this is collected 15 minutes before the flight boards, right? So it is then transmitted after that. Now there is a need to share information, but the system instituted is bulk collection. So by itself, everyone, not only foreigners, for all international passenger travel, 18 points, as Vishnu, as you pointed out, will be collected. Some things which are now necessary to understand. Where does this data go? This data goes to the custom department, but the custom department will run a risk analysis on this. This data is shared at least 24 hours before. What is the basis of the risk assessment? Is it done by a manual officer? Is it done by an algorithm? What if they are false positives? No clarity is there. Secondly, what's important to notice in this regulation is that the data collected by the customs department can be shared with any government department. This is stated in regulation 3B. And what's more important is this data is stored for 5 years. That's an inordinately long period of retention for flight travel. What will you use it gain? And even when this data is deleted, it's not destroyed. It's only anonymized. And the proviso says you can re-identify a person. So this is an overbroad, disproportionate collection of data, and it needs to be put to question because there is no data protection authority. On 3rd August, the bill was even withdrawn, and we don't know what's the path ahead. On the other points with respect to comparison with international countries, I'll come a little later, but I'd like to just open this up based on these points.
To make that point on international countries, how does India differ differ?
So after the September 11th attacks, there was a need for sharing flight data in a much more real-time basis with custom authorities. But countries, when they have sought overbroad collection, there have been two distinguishing features from India. The first has been they have had data protection authorities, which means that when the custom authority collects this data, there's an independent third-party framework which checks that this data is used only for that purpose. It's not used for profiling, political attacks, etc. And it's not even shared with other law enforcement agencies because it can then be used in different ways. The second
As citizens, you can challenge the government or whichever agency taking that data. It is listed how you can legally challenge it.
The second distinguishing feature actually comes from a lot of judgments from the European Court of Justice, where it has in fact restricted this 5-year limitation to say 6 months.
Right.
Bulk collection to say only specific airports where you find risk, not a always on system, and also delete this data. You can't share it with other law enforcement entities. The customs department uses it only for the purpose for which it is gathered. So by itself, this comparison with 60 other countries is completely misplaced.
Yeah. Okay. Amitabh, come in and then I'll go back to Professor Das. Yes?
No. Look, my point is simply that no one denies that the government has a legitimate right to certain kinds of information. But in an environment where there is absolutely no control, I'll give you a recent example from the IT Act. A statistic came out that there were 27,000 content takedown orders between 2014 and 2022. Now, of course, there must be legitimate cases for content takedown, but this seems to be a very large number. And the committee that is supposed to look at these content takedown orders, which is, you know, my art tweets, our Facebook posts, Instagram, and so on and so forth, that committee did not even contest one of these. So if you leave everything to the bureaucracy or to the executive branch to self-regulate, it's not going to work and it will be a complete violation of our privacy. So we need a proper framework, and that is what the government should be focusing on, getting the privacy and the data protection law done as soon as possible.
You know, Professor Das, I think the larger concern about privacy is this. We are in a country where apparently, phone conversations are tapped onto using very sophisticated Pegasus software. I'm not sure you can say, no, that's not true, this, that, and the other. Others insist that it is true. We are a country where there is active government involvement in trying to take down content for which there is a case going on in the High Court in Karnataka, right now. And now you've got a government which says they want 19 points of data, right, when you travel outside. So there is suspicion, naturally. Why is this information being sought?
So
right?
Vishnu, once again, Vishnu.
How do you answer that?
The two things. Let me answer you. The one thing, the passenger details, especially those who are traveling abroad, I think government for bigger security purpose, they need to collect the data. There's no doubt about it. It's not we are only the country. And that now your presumption, the data is leaking somewhere, is given to other agencies, these, that, without having any proof. Don't say all this. And second thing, what you were talking about, Jay, previously, IT Act, these, that. How do you know this is, we are not really, we are not sharing, the government is not sharing the data, or government is sharing data. Do you have any information? When you do not have any
information. The information is that we don't have
presume.
A data security bill.
Before I finish, let me answer the Amitabh Ji. Amitabh Ji was talking in first term of NDA government. There are 38 people flee from the country. Very true. Do you know who are the people that flee from the country? Those the Congress government gave all the unprotected loans. And when the NDA government started investigating, they are the people fled the country. Don't try to, fingers the other government.
But did Mr. Vijay Mallya not speak to Mr. Arun Jaitley just the day before he left?
Yeah, come on. So, this is the Congress government. What they did, it is all unprotected loans to all of them. And they are the one, when the NDA government started investigating, they are the one who fled the country. So,
all right. Apar, I'm running out of time on this. I need to focus on Rakesh Jhunjhunwala's passing. Briefly, your final point. Go ahead.
So quite often the question which is put to privacy advocates like me is, if you have nothing to hide, why do you actually have an objection if the government is collecting all of this? But the nothing to hide argument actually does not hold good, because information today is power. And secondly, just because we have nothing to hide doesn't mean we should be under a perpetual threat of a surveillance state. So I'll just end it with that. And the end thing I'll say, the sharing of government agencies is actually in Regulation 3B. That's a point of correction. You can look at it in the regulations by itself. So it's not as if I am saying that without any foundation in text within the regulation itself.
Isn't it also true, Apar, that this 19-pointer includes 6 points which weren't there earlier on? When you get a boarding card, right, there is a certain amount of data on it. When you take that boarding card and you go to boarding pass and you take it to customs, it's put underneath a scanner and the customs official gets some data. That's always been there, at least for several years. But now there is additional data being sought, which airlines need to provide. And as I understand it, it's all available payment and billing information, the travel itinerary for all the PNRs, people traveling within a PNR. If you have availed other services indicated or special services on board.
Any meals or meal preferences.
Right. Which goes in special services.
For 5 years.
Yeah, for 5 years. And so, Professor Das, the point is this. You know, you were saying that hasn't the government always collected this data? Yes, but not all. There are 6 points over here which are new. And, therefore,
which
people have a right
database. They have not any database.
Collecting PNR number? Collecting PNR number?
No. It's more than that. I'm trying to tell you. All available contact details, including email, telephone number, mobile phone number, including originator of the reservation. That's one
Very
point.
Good.
Number two, all available payment and billing information, including credit card number, and the travel itinerary for all of the people traveling within a PNR. These are all points which are new, in addition to the three others which I mentioned.
Okay. So this is from where the ticket is bought. You don't want to disclose? And if it's... If in a one PNR under
no,
one
sir,
PNR,
this is not. If it's not a binary, sir. If you are a bad person if you do not disclose, and you are a good person if you are willing to disclose. The point is an argument among educated people saying,
why should we be disclosing
information which we don't need
one has to do it.
Why should no, sir? How does it make anyone a bad citizen, right, or some sort of an illegal? A citizen committing some sort of illegality if they say, no, but why should I be giving my information? On what legal basis?
Vishnu, just listen. So there is nothing called good or bad citizen. is a mandate. We have to do it. That's because, suppose in under one PNR, there is a child trafficking is happening. How will why not the your PNR will be given? Why not?
So, no, I'm saying there's a lot more than just
credit card information. Credit card information.
Apar, go ahead and answer his question.
So just because there is some crime in a locality, you don't place it under complete curfew. It's called proportionality. And the data you're collecting, you're databasing and keeping it not only for 5 years. You say you can re-identify that data. So it's in perpetuity. Sir, the problem here is that it's not only for people who are being identified at risk and their data is being stored. It's a default system for every person who's flying in and out of India, databasing in perpetuity.
Data is it with the government. If you have objection, you have, certainly you can go to the Supreme Court, no problem. But
why should anybody need to go to the Supreme Court? If somebody is saying that, why does the government need to retain data for 5 years? And if he is suggesting that this data is not destroyed after 5 years.
So I went to the Supreme Court 5 years ago. I went to the Supreme Court 5 years ago and they said the government should make a data protection law. So why isn't the government making a data protection law?
Vishnu, the one.
No, but sir, he went to the Supreme Court, sir.
Apar went
to the Supreme Court 5 years back and he asked the government the question that you're asking. You are saying go to the Supreme Court. He says, I did it 5 years ago. I wanted a data protection bill. He is on the program right now. That data protection bill is not there. All this data is being asked by somebody. And so he's saying, very good. But what is the legal basis for it? You don't have an answer to that, sir.
Did Supreme Court they prevented not to collect the data? Did they?
So it said, this is Justice Chandrachud's opinion, which is signed off by 4 judges and constitutes the majority, that the government should bring in a data protection law as a part of its positive duty to protect the right to privacy. If there's no data protection, there's no check, there's no safeguard to this rule.
All right, look, gentlemen, we'll leave. Professor Das, let's leave it over here. I think we've hit a roadblock in this discussion, not really moving forward, but I suspect we will. We'll come back on this. Amitabh, thanks very much for being with us. I'm going to quickly move on. The ace investor, Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, died this morning at a Mumbai hospital at the age of 62. Mr. Jhunjhunwala was rushed to the Breach Candy Hospital at about 6:45 a.m., where he was declared dead on arrival. His last rites have taken place in Mumbai. The veteran trader cum investor, also known as the Big Bull of Dalal Street, was reported to have a net worth of around $5.5 billion, according to Forbes. He was the promoter of India's newest airline, Akasa Air, which took to the skies last week. Well, joining us now to talk a little bit about Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, his incredible story, Ajay Bagga. You know, Mr. Bagga, to think about a man who started off with 5,000 rupees, which we used on the stock markets, to end up with $5.5 billion in personal wealth. It's not just a miracle, it's obviously of a man who was a genius at the markets. He figured out the stock markets in a way which perhaps nobody else in India did.
Absolutely, Vishnu, and a very sad day for Indian markets. And, you know, if you look at the scale of the achievement, as you mentioned, 5,000 rupees going to 46,000 crore rupees, and you look at the journey of the Indian index from that time, 1985, the BSE Sensex was at 150, and today it is at about 59,000. That's the kind of wealth that was generated in India. That's how our GDP has gone up, our market cap has risen. And Rakesh Jhunjhunwala's story is the story of the Indian dream, the possibilities in India. You know, we have gone through, if you look at 1985 to now, we have had 1991, Rajiv Gandhi assassination, 84 we were coming off, Indira Gandhi assassination, Kargil, nuclear run to sanctions on India, all kinds of inflation, all kinds of global issues. Through that, the Indian markets did well, and a super investor like Rakesh Jhunjhunwala outperformed the markets by a substantial margin. I think that points to the genius of the man, and also the opportunity of it.
you know, you're talking about opportunity. He decided to take opportunity in one of the toughest sectors in the Indian economy, the aviation sector. Today, Air India condoled his passing. Jet condoled his passing. Others condoled his passing as well. Because despite the incredible competition in that space, and he has a very decent offering in that airline, Akasa of his, he was seen as a real maverick, somebody who had the guts and the courage to invest in sectors, even if it was difficult. It doesn't get tougher than aviation in India.
Absolutely. And, you know, aviation, normally, if you see the value investors, the investors who are very price sensitive, they stay away from a capital intensive, very high cost, very high risk industry like aviation. Normally, if you see across the world, it is very difficult to make money in aviation.
Right.
But the companies that have succeeded are the ones who are well capitalized, which means they bring in enough in terms of equity. They keep their debt levels low. Then you have a model of making money in aviation. And that was the model when Rakesh D mentioned it also at the launch. He said, I have analyzed it and there is an opportunity in the sheer numbers growth in India. If you look at the number of airports, they have doubled over the last few years.
Right.
Clearly, there is a demand at a price point. If you can fulfill that demand in a profitable manner, which very few companies have been able
sure.
to.
Mr. Bagga, it's just an incredible story, and it's such a loss for for the markets, for the visionary on the economy in our country, and indeed for his airline as well. I'm out of time. I'd like to thank you very much for just sharing your thoughts on this absolute maverick. Rakesh Jhunjhunwala passed away earlier this morning.
Thank you.